The International Olympic Committee has the honor to announce that the Games of the 35th Olympiad are awarded to Brisbane, Australia.
It was such a surreal moment. A couple of times the Lord Mayor and I are sitting there pinching ourselves saying, is this really happening?
Welcome back to Sports Day, the fine workings of Zoe behind the glass there. And that was the moment, Jared, that we brought you last night, that Brisbane officially was awarded the 2032 Games.
Yes, it was an interesting moment. Lots of celebrations and yet lots of people wondering why the big surprise.
I think interesting is the right word, Jared.
Matt Carroll is the Australian Olympic Committee CEO. He's on the ground in Australia, not on the ground in Tokyo.
He joins us from
Sydney. Welcome to you, Matt.
Evening, gents. How are you?
Oh, we're pretty well. It's been a really interesting 24 hours. A big moment for Australia, a bigger moment for Brisbane, a big moment for the Australian Olympic movement. And yet it's been shrouded in some, by to a large degree, by the interaction between John Coates and the Premier of Queensland. How have you seen it all unfold?
Well, I think first and foremost, you're right. It's a great moment, not just a big moment, a great moment for Brisbane, Queensland and the country. I mean, it's opened up a 10-year sporting runway through the 2032. And as you both know, the power of sports is very important to this country. And so a lot of good things are going to come from this runway. The discussion during the press conference between the Premier and John, I mean, John and the Premier have known each other for a long time and they have a great relationship, hence why the bid for the Games has been successful. And as the Premier's already said, she took no offence and was surprised at the negative commentary. What was missed in the television broadcast was that in the room itself, everyone was laughing. But you couldn't see it because, understandably, everyone had to wear a mask. So you can't quite get that interaction. But as the Premier herself has said, no, she and John are friends. And together, along with the Commonwealth and the mayors of Southeast Queensland, have delivered the third time for Australia, the Olympic Games.
And we want to talk about that, but let's just finish with this other issue because it's been presented very much as an unedifying interaction between the two. Now, I'm told, just reading Chip LeGrand's article, and it's a very extensive article, that the ABC News spliced out 20 minutes of interaction and married up her response, which has been widely reported, is, I don't want to be embarrassed or don't want to embarrass anybody, as a response to John Coates. Was that in fact 20 minutes apart?
Look, I can't answer that question, whether it was 10 minutes, 5 minutes or 20 minutes, but all I can say to you is, as the Premier has said, and those reporters and media in the room, it was a light-hearted exchange. Bit of sense of humour. It didn't come across that well in that broadcast, but that was the case. And that's why she has said today that she took no offence and was quietly surprised that the negative commentary that's flowed.
Yeah, I think there's going to be more to this, but there's a lot of editorials and a lot of opinion pieces.
If it is 20 minutes apart, Jared, that's a completely different... I mean, that's something being 20 minutes apart as opposed to right after. Mm. They're completely different stories, are they not?
Well, I think they are.
Because I watched it not knowing it was edited to that degree.
John Coates gave Jacqueline Magnay an exclusive interview, and in that interview he is quoted as saying, I thought she, as in Palaszczuk, may have blown it. And in fact, she's portrayed as a bumbling, is the word he used, Premier. So it doesn't appear as if they are on the one page, Matt, and that's unfortunate.
Well, you may say that. Others may say it, but the two people aren't saying that. And the Premier, and I don't think anyone described the Premier as bumbling, and John didn't describe as bumbling. What he actually said in that article was he thought they lost because of the debate, but actually what ended up, she brought the Commonwealth on board, and that's why the three levels of government, Commonwealth, state and local, which was what impressed the International Olympic Committee so much, because other places, other times, there has been a split between levels of government in hosting the Games. But in this case, it's all there. And I think, you know, this a news media conference is being taken out of context to destroy a fantastic moment or overshadow a fantastic moment for the country.
Do you know, and do you ever find out, which five countries actually voted against the Brisbane bid and who they actually voted for?
No, I don't, and no, we don't. We don't. And remember, it's not five countries. The IOC members are individuals. Okay. Right? They're not representing a country or a sport or anything like that nature. They're appointed as individuals. So, obviously they come from various countries, but they're not representing countries.
Matt Carroll is the boss of the Australian Olympic Committee. Matt, can I just ask, Gracenote, I think, is the name of the data company that has Australia winning 16 golds at this Olympics, just a prediction, and I know that would be very successful if so. What do you look at as what makes this Olympics successful, bar medals?
Well, what we look at, well, as I said, we don't do a medal forecast, and we don't do that because the athletes themselves say it doesn't help. And as I've often said many times, you don't get the coaches of the grand final, the AFL, the NRL forecasting the score before the start of the game.
True.
What we look for is what we look for is we've got a lot of athletes and teams at the top of their game, top of world rankings. So we think it could be indeed a very successful Games. I mean, and that's not just across the traditional sports of our strength in swimming, which is looking good, and basketball is looking good, but also we've got surfing and skateboarding as well, where we're highly ranked in the world. So I think, it could be really great Games. What will the glory look like? Those who achieve it win medals. That's fantastic. Those that don't quite get the personal best, and those just have a crack. There's some sports we're not going to win a medal in, but our athletes are over there and they're going to have a crack, which is the Australian way.
What we do, though, with Australian AFL coaches, Matt, is we ask them who their favourite players are. So which medal are you most keen on seeing Australia win in Tokyo?
As the CEO of a team where we've got almost 500, I don't pick those. I mean, you know,
oh, come on, Matt, you've got a favourite somewhere.
For my sport, I'd love to. If my sport, I'd love to see a couple of gold medals in rugby sevens where I was before,
okay.
And it's sailing. But I'd love to see, Edmund Hu is going to representing Australia in table tennis. He is up against the best in the world to achieve it. If he gets his personal best, all glory in his success at his personal best.
We've already lost one athlete, and his name escapes me, and the equestrian rider found guilty of taking cocaine. And unfortunately, we're not going to remember his name because he's blown his opportunity at glory. It must drive you crazy, Matt, putting in so much work to provide an opportunity for guys to excel themselves or excel at their sport, and girls clearly. And yet they get involved in something as stupid as taking an illicit drug, which puts not just their spot at risk, but also knocks other people who are trying to live their dream.
Oh, look, it is very disappointing. And the athlete himself has said he's disappointed in himself. He's let down. I mean, his family have no doubt put a lot of effort into it all. The sport, Equestrian Australia have, an investment by the AIS as well. And as you quite rightly, the disappointing thing, we're trying to save the two female athletes, their positions, so that they can continue in the Games. Equestrian Australia and ourselves are working on that as we speak, because it would be very disappointing if they get knocked out as well.
Matt, can I just get your take on Kayleigh McEwen, who is the world number one in the 200 IM, and she's pulled out of it to concentrate on the 100-metre and 200-metre backstroke events. In the words of her coach today, it's a big call.
Well, it is. But she and the coach came to that conclusion, where she wants to achieve her best. I'm not an Olympic swimmer, and we trust in her decision and also her coach's decision. So we would believe that's in the best interest of her to achieve what she's aiming for. And, we might say have a crack at everything, but, sometimes it's best to, focus, and that's what they're doing.
Matt, great to have you on. Looking forward to talking to you about each and every one of the 16 gold medals we're going to win, according to Gracenote.
So okay, what's your prediction, guys?
I think we'll win 16 gold and 40 medals overall.
We had John Bertrand on. A couple of weeks ago, and he openly declared that swimming will get us off to a great start, but sailing will, with swimming, be the heroes.
And I keep an eye on the rowers as well in the first week.
Good on you, Matt. Matt Carroll there is the boss of the AOC, speaking to us live in Sydney. We'll be right back on Sports Day after this.
Originally, I'm from the western suburbs in Victoria, Melbourne.
Yes, which one?
I grew up around Spotswood.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, I worked in Melbourne for I was a barista for about 3 years, and then I've been situated in various parts of Japan for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Had a friend of a friend, and he said, "Hey, how would you feel about working at the Australian Athletes Village?" And I was like, "That sounds like an amazing opportunity." So,
righto, yeah. Elliot, I need you to. In fact, we'll do this in the interview, so we'll save our stuff. Righto, right. Here we go, mate.
3, 2, and 1. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy, Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021 and across Tasmania for Wilson Homes.
Scoop, you've been building this interview up like we're about to talk to the most important person in Japan.
Well,
right now.
I think from an Australian perspective, Jared, they are the most important person in Japan right now because most athletes, like you and I, cannot operate without not just caffeine, Jared, but a good, solid barista-made coffee.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
But not only that, a good, solid barista, and I'm talking about one that is actually far better than that.
Is he world-renowned?
He is now. He's about to be world-renowned. He's because we go around the globe. He will be the confidant of athletes, well-known and otherwise.
How many times, Jared, have you told the barista down at 101 your problems
Alberto.
Of the day? I mean, Alberto gets the good of Jared. He gets the bad of Jared.
He gets the lot.
He gets angry Jared, indifferent Jared.
So let's cross over to Tokyo where...
Oh, this is exciting.
Our soon-to-be regular and world-famous Elliot Johnson, barista to the athletic stars of the world, but mainly the Australians, joins us on the line. Elliot, a very, very warm welcome to Sports Day.
Thank you very much, guys. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's great to have you on board. I know we're a little bit overwhelmed because we are going to be chatting to you hopefully on a regular basis, and you'll be able to update us on all matter of inside information. But first and foremost, tell us about your good self, Elliot. How did you end up getting to Japan, and where do you come from? Where do you hail from in this country?
So I originally hail from Melbourne. I grew up.
You're one of us here.
Yes. I grew up entirely in Melbourne, up in the western suburbs in like Spotswood Way.
Yep.
Yeah, honed my craft as a barista there for about 3-ish years, maybe. And then I moved to Japan, start of 2017.
Yes.
And just started working at a whole bunch of different cafes around Tokyo. I was in Sapporo as well. And just, I made a whole bunch of friends, and one of them just happened to have this barista gig at the Australian Olympics of all things. And he messaged me, I was like, "How would you feel about working?" And I thought, "Sounds good." And here I am.
We'll get back to that detail, but let's just explore the Japanese locality. Why Japan? My gut feeling is you're a snowboarder. Yes, you went over there in Nisiko. You worked in the bars of Nisiko. That then gave you some contacts, and from there it flowed. Or am I completely off beat here and you're just a kid who wanted to go to Japan and Tokyo's your thing?
I hate to break your heart, but you're off track. I worked in one of the ski resorts for a bit, and everyone asked me the same thing. And I actually can't snowboard or ski at all.
Which resort were you at?
I was at a place called Tomamu, which is like about 2 hours out from Sapporo.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very fancy, like a luxury resort kind of place.
Yeah, I wouldn't
and
have been there.
we had a lot of Aussies.
Yeah,
like 80% of our sales for coffee were Aussies first thing in the morning. So. Gave me some good practice for these Olympics.
So, Elliot, how do the Japanese like their coffee compared to us here in Australia or the rubbish that they make in the States or Europe?
Well, I was looking it up the other day, and I think, like, per person, like, they drink more coffee than the average Aussie. It's just that they drink it completely differently. So, like, whereas I imagine you guys and myself, like, coffee is part of the daily routine. Like, you usually go before work.
Yep.
During your break, you usually have a rapport with your barista, whereas in Japan, it's predominantly you'll get it at the convenience shop or you'll get it from the work vending machine.
Mm.
I mean, they've got canned coffee here, God forbid, but it's an interesting concoction.
Jared, what are they doing over there? Canned coffee in the vending machine? Poor old Elliot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they've got Tommy Lee Jones selling it. It's quite interesting.
It is actually. You only have to turn up to Haneda or any of the airports there. What's the other one? Haneda and Narita.
Yeah, you're saying Narita. That's or, right. Yeah,
and you just that like it's a cultural thing, and it's very different to what we're used to. So let's get back to what we're here to talk about, and that is, I guess, the demand on you from the athletes. Let's first and foremost, what's the go-to coffee for the Australian team as we speak?
The go-to coffee it's very inconsistent, but it always has a double shot.
Double shot? So no one
wants a single shot.
Okay. Now, let's go. Given that they're all athletes, I take it they're either on the piccolo.
Less milk.
Or they are going with the oat milk or the almond milk or the soy, heaven forbid.
The oat milk's been pretty wild here. Yeah. Like, it's not popular in Japan, so I had never actually used it before I started the Olympic gig. So I had to get used to it really quickly. It was like, oh, this is something new. Last time I checked, it was just soy, but yeah, oat milk is the go-to, I think.
Very much over here. It's trending. As they say on Twitter, it's
you're part
big time.
Of the trend. You're part of the trend.
Yeah, I jumped on board some time ago. But and when you're talking to your various athletes, how forthcoming are they about their nerves? And have you got any information for us as we speak?
I think I don't know if I've got any good secrets. I've been here for like 5 years, and I have not touched like the telly, so. They're just like a regular customer to me. So like I'm just like, yeah, you got training today. And we just have chats about how everyone's going, but it's a really good vibe in the building.
Have you recognized like, one of them, Elliot?
Oh, I recognized a couple of people from when I used to watch the Australian Open as a youngster.
Ash Barty. Yeah. What's her? Yeah. Coffee
the, half the tennis team. I was like, oh wait, I know you. It was a bit of a shock. I was like, I've seen you on TV, but I've never seen you in real life. So it was I think that was the only time I lost my nerve.
Now, Elliot, what's the worst order you've had so far? What the most annoying?
Everyone's been really, really good. Yeah, like, there's been no one's had any issues. There's nothing bizarre. Like, I think it's because we're the only shop in the village. Like, there's no going anywhere else. So.
There's no decaf extra shot. Decaf extra hot.
No, we got rid of decaf, chai, chocolate. It's just coffee. So like it's either you're having coffee or you're not. It's pretty it's pretty straightforward. It's been pretty pretty refreshing actually.
Elliot, tell me what's the difference between a normal cappuccino, if you like, and an extra hot cappuccino? Mm.
About 3 seconds.
Yeah, that's it. Can you actually taste the difference? I mean, is it that much hotter, or is it just people being picky?
I think a lot of it could be they're getting someone else and they're not sure when they're going to be able to drink it.
Right.
So there's a bit of thought involved, but generally you want a regular coffee. You want it to be hot enough that you could drink most of it, but if you tried to like drink it all at once, you'd burn yourself.
Yep.
Whereas with an extra hot, it's like if you have more than a sip, you're probably going to like burn your tongue. So that's only in the space of about 3 seconds. The milk rises about 10 degrees.
Where, 10 degrees, is it that big?
And where do the Japanese get most of their beans from?
They are, like the rest of the world, big on Brazilian coffee, Colombian coffee, big on... and Papua New Guinea lately has been making some real waves just because of its... I think the rules around buying it have changed recently, so it's gotten to the hands of a lot more people now.
Well, he's
but they like their dark blends, a lot darker than Melbourne, I'd say.
He's clearly the number one man in the Australian Olympic team at the moment. Because I'll tell you what, Jared, if Elliot went down, there'd be all hell in the village. I mean, who's going to make the coffee?
Indeed. Tell us, what's been the biggest story, Elliot, from your perspective in and around the Olympics in your time there?
Yeah, the biggest story so far.
Because now the big story is that John Coates had a less than successful attempt at humour with Anastasia Palaszczuk when the Olympics were handed to Brisbane yesterday. Have you heard the fallout about this?
No, I only found out about Brisbane, I think I officially found out first thing this morning.
Yeah. We've known in Australia for 3 months at Brisbane. We're going to get it. I'm not sure what the big surprise was. Has John Coach or Anastasia Palaszczuk? Has John? Were they faking it there last night?
I have to go and watch the footage. I haven't had a chance yet.
John hasn't walked by for his morning coffee in the last couple of days.
He's come in, but I don't think he's mentioned anything like that. It's usually part of a group.
I reckon so tomorrow when he comes in, he'll want a triple shot.
He's just had a rough one, then.
He's had a bad 24 hours. Can you speak fluent Japanese, Elliot?
I can speak enough to, you know, get by, watch TV, watch movies, that kind of thing. Mm. But I wouldn't be calling myself fluent just yet.
And what are the athletes buying with their coffee? They going pastries? Well, have you got pastries there or any sort of condiments?
Well, no, because we're just like a little coffee cart. Right. I'm not sure how much I can divulge, but yeah, so we're just straight coffee. They're just smashing out a lot, drinking a lot of coffee.
With or without sugar? Is sugar a go-to or definitely a no-no?
Well, sugar is there, but whether you would like it is up to them.
Well, go on, Elliot.
I know we've obviously got like the not just the athletes, but the rest of the team here as well. So there are some sugars, but I'm not sure if they're athletes or from the support team.
Quickly, how much does a large cappuccino cost
in Japan?
Yep.
It's
probably about $5, $5.50 here Australian.
Yeah, here if you go to a chain shop, you're probably looking about $6-$7, and if you go into a specialty, you could be looking at $5, but you also could be looking at $8 depending on where it's located.
That's the equivalent in Australian dollars.
Yeah, the yen's been pretty strong lately too, so it's making those coffees seem extra expensive.
Yeah, our dollar's diving like it's off the high board at the moment.
Elliot, great to have you on. Please, when your phone blows up in the next few hours from other requests, no more.
We demand exclusivity.
We now own you.
I guess you do. I can't fight that one.
No.
Good on you, Elliot. Great to have you on. Elliot Johnson there, the Australian Olympic team barista, the go-to man for everyone's problems in the Olympic Village.
Are you still with us, Elliot? We're going to find out if he's a Western Bulldogs man, because...
I am.
You are the Western Bulldogs. Well, she's a big couple of weeks coming up for the Dogs. In fact, a big weekend coming up, followed by a couple of really, really important months for the Dogs. You're a premiership chance, Elliot. Do you mind if we give you a call when the Olympics kick off next week?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'd love to have a chat with you guys.
All good. Elliot Johnson there.
Barista to the stars.
We've got another Tokyo exclusive next. The CCOR.
Oh, wow.
Charnel Vella is going to join us. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for the Kia Sorento. It is Drive Car of the Year. And across Tasmania for Wilson Homes, they believe in great design, so you love being home.
You promised me something big tonight.
I did, and I've delivered once again.
What, the barista?
No, the barista was just the entree. The barista of the exclusive interview, radio interview with the barista of the Australian Olympic team.
Yes.
In Tokyo.
Yes.
That's just the entree. We now have what we've previously referred to as the CCR, the Chief COVID Reporter here in Victoria, the State Charnel. Political Reporter for Channel 7, Charnel Vella.
Is she in Tokyo?
She has now been upgraded. She got too big for Melbourne, and she's gone to Tokyo to be the CCOR.
You didn't tell me
Chief
that.
Chief COVID Olympic Reporter, and she joins us. From Tokyo. Charnel, welcome.
Hello, I feel so privileged to be here. I think it was your big pump up that they said put her on a plane and send her over there.
Well, I didn't know that they were listening, so I did make a quick phone call to Lewis Martin, and quite clearly he's decided that you're too big just to have simply a national audience. You're now going international, which is even more fantastic for us. Because we've actually loved, in fact, we have acknowledged your superiority in reporting all matters COVID right throughout the network. And it's just an absolute privilege for this program to have someone so connected on the ground up there in Tokyo reporting indirectly. Yeah, so very much a warm welcome to the team.
Thank you so much. It certainly is a warm welcome. I know you guys are freezing, but I am hot here. It is steaming here. I know that's not what you want to hear, but I just thought I'd let you know.
No, well, we don't want to hear that. It's about 6 degrees here. Charnel, tell us, what is actually the biggest story in Tokyo right now, you know, from an Australian perspective?
Well, of course, the Matildas last night were just superb. We have the Aussie softball team as well. They played the first game in the whole of the Olympics games. Lots of pressure on them. They dropped that one to Japan, but they've come through today against Italy, which is really great for the team here. Of course, they want to build a fan base back in Australia, given they haven't played softball in the games for the last 13 years. So really looking to build the base there. Of course, there's all the COVID protocols. If I can go back to my roots and talk about COVID, there's heaps of protocols around here. We're testing every day ourselves, and we're keeping away from athletes. It's really, really strict here. They are enforcing every single rule that we told would be in place. There's no moving from those rules, but it's to keep everyone safe, and it's been a great game so far.
When you get tested, Charnel, are you also just having to dribble some saliva into a test tube, or are you getting the Australian version of the tissue up the back of the nostril?
Look, I won't act like I'm a refined lady. Sam knows me very well and knows that I probably don't fit that definition. So I am doing the old dribble test into the tube.
Yes.
It's not up the nose. We did have a couple of those up the nose tests before we came here to make sure. But here it's all about spitting. But Japan, they're very modest, so you can't really do it in public either. And we do have to test on the go. Mm-hmm. So I'm ducking around corners and hiding behind furniture when I'm doing my spit test every day.
And the accommodation, how does that rate?
It's small, but we're very happy. It is very small. All the hotels are tiny here, and we're not allowed out of them. So we're only allowed to game venues and then straight back to the hotel. We are allowed to go to one convenience store. You're only allowed to be at that convenience store for 15 minutes. We did have one staff member who was told that it took them too long to walk to the convenience store. They perhaps had to up their fitness. So we're on very strict protocols here. I'm getting my walking done in the under 15 minutes to the convenience store, grab sushi, get back.
The big story over here today was the attempt at humour of John Coates when it
alleged attempt of humour.
Alleged attempt at humour when he ordered Anastasia Palaszczuk to attend the opening ceremony. How did you see it, and what do you think of his explanation?
Oh, I would say that masks probably came in handy in that situation. I thought she looked quite awkward and was probably hiding a very awkward face underneath there. And that was probably the reaction of the wider public as well. Of course, he released a statement shortly after explaining his actions.
Yep.
But I don't think they went down well. And there was a lot of talk in the public about would he have done that to a male as well. So I think that comes into play there.
I was disappointed in his explanation. It was almost like throwing Anastasia under the coach bus.
Yeah, and look, there was a lot of controversy about her coming here, but when you see the payoff, I guess it does seem like she did have to be here to get those games. So it was quite polarising whether she had to come or not. Of course, given what's happening back home at the moment, you know, it probably doesn't bode well to see premiers flying out, but Brizzy came off with the games, and that's a great win.
So, Charnel, given that you're now a regular on the program, we need a little bit of background.
Yep.
Where do you live in at Melbourne?
Sure.
And who do you barrack for, so we can just ascertain your bona fides?
Oh, this is where you're probably never going to talk to me again. Mm. I'm just going to put it out there. So, the first part is okay. So I live in the southeast. I'm a Roeville girl.
Yes.
The second part is I don't have a football team.
Okay. So you're up for grabs.
I'm up for grabs, but I'm glad that you haven't wanted to sack me over that straight away.
No, we're not. We're a very broad church on this program.
Jared doesn't barrack for anyone either. So you're good company.
You can have agnostics, you can have atheists, you can have hardcore swans, saints, you name it. We'll take the lot.
Like Labour, Liberal, Greens.
So can I explain it though? So
I think we'll pull short of the Greens. We'll pull you up at the Greens. Okay. Sorry, Charnel, I interrupted.
I'm going to explain it to you. Dad is Maltese. Mum is Sri Lankan. We didn't really grow up with footy in the house.
Yes.
The husband goes for Richmond and is desperate for me to get on board.
Too late.
But I feel like if I was going to do that, that's it, right? Too late. Too late.
So if you had to pick one outside of Richmond, and it doesn't have to be Melbourne-based, who would you like to jump on board?
Oh.
If you just, you know, even if you wanted to jump on board for this year.
Let's get a club care package sent over to Tokyo, I reckon.
Let's just consolidate your position till the end of September, and then you're free to reconsider.
Yeah, righto. Why don't we go? Would I be a member of the Cattery?
Oh, that's
well, that's fair enough.
That's disappointing.
That's fair enough.
But she'd go a little bit lower down the ladder. She'd go right.
No,
to the
go
top.
For the Cats. All right, you're on board with the Cats.
Okay, Charnel's a Cats woman. She's a Cats woman until she's
the
not
the Cat woman.
Yeah, the Cat woman. I like it.
Yeah,
Charnel, we're short
but
on
I'm
time.
I'm happy to be persuaded.
Okay, happy to be persuaded. We're short on time, but no,
oh, you're
that's
winding me.
No,
this is
that's
disappointing.
That's Zoe behind the glass. She's an Essendon fan. great to have you on. It sounds like there's a fair bit going on in Tokyo, and looking forward to chatting to you slightly earlier in the program next week.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be on board as a regular. Call me anytime.
Charnel Vella, the CCOR, Chief COVID Olympic Reporter, big debut, and has announced her intention to be a Geelong supporter.
So impressive was Charnel. She's first hour stuff.
More sports day coming up, including our tips.